Onward and better. On to Monday, October the 3rd, I guess it is. And we're speaking this afternoon with Herb Taylor. Herb has had a copy of the Dredge book, and he has had a chance to read the article that was written by Prof. Day and to look at the pictures. And we're going to be, he's coming in this afternoon, and we're going to be discussing that from there on. We're looking here at the Prof. Day, Prof. Day map.
I don't know, this brings back a lot of memory, but Gentleman John Sweezy was always drunk. Well, he had his horses, one lovely pacer, and he'd whip it away, sit there, and hardly pull on the lane, whip the hat rein, the faster the horse would go.
Yeah.
He'd yell. But he was Gentleman John when he was
John, Sweezy.
A lot of them the other side, like Ferris, yeah.
Well, that's Peter Ferris, is that right?
I wouldn't know. Here's W.J. Ferris. Like, the son's still, that's Keith's, Murray Ferris.
Murray. Well, they didn't come down, this is the fifth line. This is where Ferris's are now, right there. Well, there's W.J. Ferris right there, yeah. Did they own that out on?
I wouldn't know. But here's a guy who was really a pioneer in marsh work, is Sutherland. Now, there's a whole file of a whole bunch of Sutherlands.
Is that Dave?
But it's Dave I'm thinking of that used to be the real.
Well, he was still here when we came up.
Yeah.
And he lived right here on this corner.
Yeah.
Right there on that corner. This is where number 4 school is.
Yeah.
Right there. And he lived right there. And then he was responsible for building. He had a bridge. He had a gravel pit in there, didn't he?
He sure did. Yeah.
Grabbed a big gravel pit right here.
Yeah,
like
he had a rickety old bridge you could cross.
Yeah.
Heard. He had a lot of marsh down there. A rich man, and Professor Day rented some land from him, and I helped broke it, and he was planting potatoes on it.
Mm-hmm. So where did you live at that time? When you were, not this time, but when you were on
the time this, I really didn't have any marsh. Well, I did a little bit, but it was in the small scheme.
Okay, that would be up in here. You see, this is where it would be.
Yeah,
it would be back up this section.
But it would be the section I had was in the town of Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a dividing line. I was in East Columbia. I was in East Columbia.
Okay.
So it would split in here.
Yeah. Okay. This would have been the small scheme here. That would be it there. So were you on the other side over in, would be the other side?
This must have been a later map. So what time did you say?
This was 1911.
He's written these things in a much later date, I'm sure. Because there's my name.
Stuart?
Herb.
Herb, all right.
Mm-hmm. So that was after he came back from the war. Huh?
Uh-huh.
A little piece of land down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh? It was very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, you know. Anyway, we're getting this one. Then we have a 1925 map, a 1925-27 map.
Yeah.
You've likely seen that one, haven't you?
No.
Art Jans has had one for quite a while, and there's one up on the pump house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only thing is quite different.
This was run again 25.
Yeah.
This was before the canal. This was proposed canal.
It would be at the time. Like, they used it as their map for the canal. But it's interesting how the names have changed.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people bought on speculation. That things were going to be it was going to be a great thing in the whole business, you know. And even the prof, I recognize some of the names from Guelph because there were they were the names of professors and that who were at the university.
Did you go to Guelph?
Yeah.
What did you specialize in?
Animal science, or for animal husbandry, we used to call it in those days, animal science. Yeah.
Were you really a vet? Well,
just genetics
and things like that.
Oh yeah, you got that kind of stuff.
But like the, I'm thinking about the. Have they got the dredge stuck back in here someplace? And you
Well, we were talking about that, and I was talking with this with Sam. You see?
Yeah.
And Sam, this was where they lived over here.
Yeah.
And Sam says, well, he said they were there, and he says, I'm sure, he says, they were digging this way, digging from north to south. I said, well, gee, Sam, I don't know. I said, I always, from everything I've read, they went around this way.
Yeah.
And came back up, and they should have been going from south to north when they went past your place. Well, I don't know, he says, but he thought that they'd stopped about their place, and they left the dredge there over winter.
Yeah.
And then went on, finished off, you see. But the place they got stuck in is over in here someplace, isn't it? Around the fifth line somewhere?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah. They went up, and it's still open, like, isn't it?
Yes,
then they had to back up and come back and go back around somewhere.
Yeah. And what about, have you contacted Emerson Ferris or Bob Ferris? Oh, no, he's dead.
He's
brother, his son here, but no. The other guy, you know the one I mean?
Bob, young Bob.
Whether
he might have any old papers, you know, it's hard to say. The house is burnt.
The house is burnt. Like they lost everything, but there was anything.
Well, it'd be before his time. I don't think that I remember. You ever contact my brother, Harold?
Because
he was closer to Professor Day in a lot of the things than I was.
Yeah?
Because he actually worked for him, and I did the first summer there, and I think I was the first man to break any land down there. I walked behind professors of tractors when he was breaking land.
What kind of a tractor did he have?
It was a Fordson with Caterpillar. Fordson Caterpillar. I'm pretty sure. I know we had one later, but I think that's what he, and a great plow, of course, you knew that. You
know,
plow for about 2 feet wide and then it was deep.
Mm-hmm. And so would that be like grass that you were plowing under, or would it be?
Well, the grass was caused no trouble. He could just plow in these lovely straight furrows. But there was a lot of willow swamps going down there. And at first he didn't bother to cut down the willows. Tried to plow them in, but the trouble was the furrow would flop over, and then the strength of the willows would make it flop back again. So he wanted me to walk behind the plow and try and
jump on these
and try and get them. But that was the most tiresome job. Took all my strength to help me. He had to stop the tractor and come back and help me. But even then, you couldn't make the stay.
So you plowed about 18 inches or a foot deep?
No more than a foot. No.
Stella
Day.
Stella Day. Oh, yeah.
And she. She was a good girl, and she was strong. She married somebody in Nova Scotia. And Harry was always a little sickly.
We're just trying to what I was looking at was to see if we could get a real good sketch of what this dredge looked like.
Oh,
Yeah. That was what we started out with, you know, like, like what did, is this what it, you know,
yeah.
What did it really look like, you know, and it's the size of it and everything. Now, you were saying, you were saying that it came into Bradford on the train?
No, it was built on, you know, Riverview Inn is
yeah.
now,
mm-hmm.
and right down at the river there.
It
was built, and then they put it into the water from there.
Nice.
Before they put all the stuff on top of it, they built like this. Mm-hmm. Or fox. Held the dance on it that night, one night, and
mm-hmm.
completed.
And was it like it was just like a barge, was it?
Just a barge.
Just a barge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see Bill said that Waller was the engineer,
mm-hmm.
and then. There was Wilmaine Mullis, well, Bill Fuller's wife, you know, but maid.
Yeah.
Her brother, Wilbert, I think, took the, it was a coal-burning bridge, and I think he, of course, he wasn't much older than I was, but a bit, and he took the coal down the canal to the bridge.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The one that did that.
How did they have a boat like that? They take it down and that type of thing.
I've forgotten, mm-hmm. but I remember. I think it was just like a barge that took it down.
Mm-hmm. Take down that. Mm-hmm. Joe mentioned Joe Saint. He mentioned there's a lady who used to live down on, I believe it was, Heard. One of those streets down there. He was the cook on the barge. They wouldn't work at night, would they? Would they have lights? No.
Well, I think they had lights. I believe they did. I'm not sure. All I remember is this great big pole at the back. And they would move ahead as far as they could, and then they'd have to brace this pole up so as it could go ahead,
mm-hmm.
and then jam it down into the bottom of the ditch so as to keep the dredge from coming backwards when they were digging it up.
How did they drive it down?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose steam and put it down with so the weight, or it must have been such. I guess they could haul it up and they wanted
yeah.
to move down.
I could drive it on something like a pile, like, you know,
I wouldn't think
something,
so.
Just a thing that went up, bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right at the back of the dredge, like.
Right at the back of the dredge.
And you can see in this picture, like, there are two, like, these two yeah. arms here, that there are stabilizers that seem to go out on the sides.
Yeah.
And I would assume that there looks to be a
raised
cable coming in
lowered.
Here, raised and lowered,
mm-hmm.
and they could be taken in and out. And,
yeah.
How long would it? What would be the dimensions of that barge? You know? 50 feet, something like that. Mm-hmm. Would that? Can you? Would that be 1920? Can you pinpoint a year now when that?
But that's you know when that was. 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what made me think of 1929. But according to the professor, he drew the first crop. I remember the crops that he did grow.
Mm-hmm.
And he had these little old green potatoes. Because if I helped him break that land, I must have been going to school, high school. And then so it must have been July. And I don't know why he didn't break anymore, but maybe he worked part of it up and planted these potatoes. But the potatoes turned out, this little green ones, didn't have time enough. I sort of remember now about the cauliflower and stuff. But I remember Caesar. He was an early man on the marsh, and he had land the way up at the south end along that area where Peg Davies' father, that much, had land. And I remember him bringing down the first load of onions. Of course, he had to bring everything down on a barge. There's no other way out. And they were lovely onions, but they were green, all mossy, sort of. You know, sort of algae green.
Mm-hmm.
But he sold them and got rid of them.
He would be up like in the Keswick March.
He was up in the, in the Keswick March.
Mm-hmm.
Crossed my mind. But that was a nice soil up there. It was sort of soft and friable. It didn't have as much of the peat moss in it. Far around the bush. I guess there still is sort of black.
More that would be like the soil that you'd find where they just grew the grass, like that, right? Yeah.
Well, the soil where just grew the grass was straight, turned up as straight peat.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it was, I guess you still had, but it would burn, and it would burn and float and it would get dried out.
Yeah, well, Sam was telling me about they had a fire over their part of the way and worked there for 5 or 6 years.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We had one knock and couldn't put it in.
No. Yeah.
Of course, it could have flooded the land. It wouldn't have mattered if they got that.
Sometimes it's hard. You don't want to start a flood because you never know whether you
can. No, when you hit with controllable, we have to pump the water up from the thing, pump it in.
Mm-hmm.
That was later on, of course.
Do you remember anything about the when they putting this big steam shovel on the barge at all, or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Professor Day, he grew up. Hey, Day, and she was a character.
Was he generally a good humored guy? Pretty good.
He was approachable, but not. He wasn't hail fellow well met or anything like that. But I do remember. He was out in the yard, lived down here, evidently engrossed in whatever he was doing, some book work, and there was a couple of kids. One chased the other, went around the corner, and the professor looked up and said, "Did he catch it?" You know, his interest was still
Now, he ran into some pretty tough financial problems, I guess, when he was...
Yes, he did.
You know, was that because he
just overstressed. Kept borrowing money from the pool. He sent all... They made farmers.
Yeah.
And he sent all carloads of celery down to Montreal. And took far too much. They couldn't sell it.
I see.
Didn't have the money to come up to pay back the UFOs.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So they took over, but we had my brother and I had a, but worked pretty hard to get it then. So we had worked late in the winter fall putting drainage in the ditches down across in the big canal.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Davis had been to a little escape.
Mm-hmm.
This was just over the bridge. So I guess he must have owned a lot of land at one time.
Yeah. He has his name on quite a few parcels on that 1925 map, here and there, like one here, another one over here, another one over here, another one here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Named on quite a few parcels.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things went on in the wintertime, like on that, when nothing at all, they didn't do any they didn't do any digging, they didn't put any tractors on, and the ground was frozen, they didn't put anything on there to do any excavating or digging or anything.
No, I don't think so. I remember on Winter though that he had his land trenched in the winter time with the machine. Big wheel on it, you know, kind of
scout.
Yeah. On one side.
We used to, that was, my father had one of those.
Yeah.
The tile draining machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the prof came down, and I don't remember him coming at all, but he was in touch with Dad about coming up, and Dad came up and looked at it.
Yeah.
But he just decided there's no way because there were too many tree trunks and tree stumps and stuff.
Yeah.
And you just start to dig, and all the, you know, if you had a tile machine and hook on one of those, well, it could,
yeah,
you know, it could be 5-10 feet on either side, and you'd have to pull out.
Big, yeah.
So it was a real challenge. Yeah, that was quite a thing, though. I guess in the first, the early stages of picking roots, eh?
Oh yeah, they were piled all over the marsh, and they were in quite good state of preservation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pine.
Yeah.
Well,
you could use them for firewood. Is that what they used?
They did, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You've read the book, that the new book on the marsh. Have you read that one? Well, there are copies of it in the in the library. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a copy of it here.
So, but my showed it to the grandchildren. I think they took it.
Oh, no. But it's in the library.
Yeah,
it's a green colored book.
Sure.
It's a Dutch chap has written it. And it's a story about the Bradford Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks more about the settlers coming in. But the one interesting thing, like, he talks about Ansnabelt,
yeah,
and the early winters there, and about the fact that, you know, that they used the tree roots to
heat
the places. And some of the places they lived in, I guess, are pretty were pretty rough.
Well, you know Jerry Slingerland?
Yes.
Well, and he and what's her name got married?
Mary.
And no. What's his wife's name?
And she was a Paulus?
She was a Paulus, yeah.
No. All right, we know who.
Actually, we know who.
Yeah.
They lived in the converted hen house on the marsh for a while.
Yeah.
That's there. John J. Snorr, is he in your books at
yeah,
all?
He's in the books, yeah.
He's in my books, John.
Yeah.
Well, I guess his daughter still lives in Aurora. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Helen Snorr. Helen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the girls. Mm-hmm.
Well, then Garrett Rawl, he came, was he one of the originals that came?
No, he had nothing much to do with the marsh.
His father, but not, his father was, or was he?
No. Well, but they came and started the greenhouse.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They started the greenhouse.
Garrett Rawl.
That's all it's been.
Well, it's quite an interesting period of history. People think like it's like 70 years, you see, next year, that it started back.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, an awful lot of people, it's like,
yeah,
it's been going forever, right? They think it would be forever.
I must have been only about 12 or 14 when I was people walking behind the Pennsylvania.
Well, it'll be 70 years.
I'm 82. I'll be 82 in October.
Yeah.
But you know, there's not many of us left. There's myself and my brother and Bill Fuller. And of course, Peter Catania's dad, Leo. But he was a little bit after. And then there was an awful lot of work from the Hall Landing, work from Professor Dave.
Uh-huh.
It was very labor intensive at that time.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You mean have to do all the weeding by hand? How many sprays? Planting by hand?
Yeah. You take guys like Joe Saint worked with them. Did some, you know, like you talk. They're saying in that book they talk there about people used to drive from Orangeville to work on the to work because you earn some money. Yeah? You earn money.
And I remember where might have been the same guys. He lived in a tent and they put it up down on the flats there near the highway. Asked them, for both of them, but asked them $2 a week to eat. No shit.
That's what you call a staple diet.
Yeah. But it's amazing with you. Look at the difference in price. And imagine for a whole week for $2.
Yeah. Did they eat? Did they just buy the groceries or did they eat at the restaurant?
Oh, they couldn't eat the restaurant. No, they'd buy it.
Yeah, but meals were only 50 cents or 75 cents.
75 cents. You would too, Andy, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, are you, George? How am I doing?
I'll be, I'm 69 in November.
69?
I'm only a kid.
I guess sometimes you think, hey,
well, it's always by standards. Eh?
Yeah.
It's very interesting. What did the, When did they start start to talk about building packing houses and things like that in Bradford?
Oh, that I don't know. Bill Fuller, he started it. He was a dealer. That's how he.
I see.
Yeah, he was. Fuller and Thornton was a. Went into the business of making crates, crate factory, which was a separate from Bill Fuller.
Where was that factory? Was that the one that was on Back Street? That one that we know now is on Back Street? Is that the one?
Yeah.
I see.
But it originally started, see, a week, do you remember we had the flower shop there? Right across the road. It was the Thornton place that I had a lot of sheds.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess he did a lot of the nailing in the wintertime.
How did you get in the flower business?
Oh, through the greenhouse. I came back from overseas. I started to work for Raul, not Raul Dutchy. And, Well, you got into the flower business from that.
That's it.
When I bought the greenhouse, but it wasn't. I didn't look after it properly. I didn't have enough experience. It's not a thing you should. You should be almost brought up in a greenhouse. You know.
You do a lot of things by instinct, don't you?
Yeah. I was too much afraid to invest in too much amount of money.
The
flower business was a good business, but it was too much for me. I couldn't handle it. You know, too much for Rush all at once. And it was a good business.
You were in the service. Which branch were you at?
I was with the Air Force.
Air Force, I see.
Yes.
What were you? What responsibility there?
Where I was air gunner.
Yeah.
And what a trip I had! I went from England to Gibraltar, out to Middle East, Cairo, and then I spent about 2.5-3 years in Ceylon and India.
Oh, smokes!
Took a boat, came back, and
what kind of aircraft were you flying in?
I never heard of them. They were called Beauforts.
Beauforts, yeah. Twin engine.
Twin engine.
Yeah. Yeah. Bristol Beauforts.
And not the Beaufighter.
No.
But the Beauforts were a little longer.
Yeah.
Torpedo bombers.
Mm-hmm.
We were air sea. Well, not air sea rescue. We were attached to the in patrols on
convoys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. One, as we were there, there was no bad new trouble. That was a great thing, you know. The old submarine would poke his nose up and recycle. You in the service, right, George?
No, I wasn't. Oh.
Enlisted, eh?
Did you carry depth charges too?
Yes.
The drop down.
Yeah. I just wonder if people from a badly like that charge drop knowing. He didn't even have the cannon there.
Yeah, were 303s?
303s. Nice to have the turret.
You're looking backwards all the time. Pretty well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either that and then the wireless operator, two wireless operators, air gunners, and switch back and forth. Yeah.
How long could you patrol at once on one plate?
Probably not that long, probably 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
But they did put extra tanks in the belly for the fly down to Gibraltar. Mm-hmm. And the fly up to India.
Mm-hmm.
And we made one trip, well, halfway between the tip of India and the tip of South Africa. There's a place called Addu Atoll, not Attu, which is in Alaska, Addu, which is, we stayed there for. Because the British were bringing up a big dry dock, towing it up, and it's from South Africa, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid the Germans would come up and torpedo it, so we were on it.
Quite the experience, eh?
It was quite the experience.
Yeah. Were you ever into Malta very often?
Yes, that was quite strange. We stayed there, I suppose, a couple of nights. But just after the big push, they were afraid to let us go on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you go down to the breach, you know, you get down the hole in the rock, you know. The whole place was littered with a lot of stone quarries. And they were all filled with busted airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And one part I remember is flying over Africa after the big push. See the whole place littered with burnt out tanks and all sorts of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
The whole desert just marked up with tank trucks. That was the only place I ran into trouble at all that makes me lucky to be here today. We were running between Gibraltar and Malta, and we wouldn't restrict her down the Med. We cut across and went down through Africa and got to over the ocean between Safax and Davies. And the Germans had a big Air Force base, fighter base at Paddle area. There was a little island in that area. So we were coming along, and there was a couple of Jerry's took after us, and the Seaboy up there yet, first one guy. Well, I couldn't understand it, but seeing this great big spruce of water come straight behind me, and then firing their cannon at us. And he come up, and he fired, and another guy come up and he fired and they stopped. And I always think that they were in a hurry to get back for breakfast. They didn't have time to pursue them. They just emptied their cannon at us.
You were kind of glad they did.
But they were in a hurry. I remember this feeling of being so mad at the nerve of them. Like,
yeah.
When they come back close to me, I let them have it.
Yeah.
Which was a far call from the Marsh.
That's right.
But going back, when worked for Emerson Ferris and tried the Cookstown Marsh, and this went where you'd have to carry fertilizer, which for 125 pounds.
That's right, in a sugar bag.
In a bag?
Yeah.
Put them on your shoulder?
Yeah, with a wire thing on the top of them.
Forget about that. I think they're just sort of, I'm not sure, but you're being carried plowed through the muck in one of those new bikes.
That's right.
And scatter them by hand. Fertilizer spray. Or you get the.
That was the good old days, huh?
Yeah, the good ones. Oh, for a whole 25 cents an hour?
Yeah.
Okay. Professor Day's boys, they went on strike from one or more, so I think he gave them an extra 2.5 cents an hour. He gave them 27.5 cents.
I see. Original labor dispute in Bradford, eh?
Originally. Well, they had one here quite a straight one time with your own, was that there?
Don't remember it.
No. No. About 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. We were here then.
Yeah.
It's 40 years, you see, it's 40 years of next month is the Hurricane Hazel. And that was when that was the first year we were up here.
Yeah.
54.
Well, then our daughter Ann spent time with you, didn't you, Barbara? You have daughters about her age, did you?
Yeah.
Or have you?
Yeah. Barb, yeah, maybe. Was she in the same grade as our oldest boy?
I think it was. Well, how old was your daughter at that age?
No, we were all three boys. We had three boys. We had the girls.
And you lived on a farm down in 27, didn't you?
No. That's the Devins family that are down on the farm in 27.
Oh, yeah, that was. Yeah, they had girls, didn't they?
Yeah, they had girls.
We were in
the settlement there, right next to the settlement Presbyterian Church on the fifth line, Charlie Watson's farm. Where Charlie Watson used to live?
Right next to the Scott Settlement Church. Yeah,
yeah, the new church, not the old church. It's on the sixth. We're down on the fifth.
And what about Keith Elliott? Is he
right
there?
Across the road from us.
Right across the road.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And MacArthur and McKay's, Henry and Mrs. McKay.
Well, I wouldn't have been working for Doug MacArthur at that time, would I? Did Dan MacArthur, Danny?
Danny was in the Havens.
Oh, did he? But he had a farm?
Yep. His was out further on, out toward 27 Highway, on the fifth line.
Yeah.
Dunk had the machinery agency.
He had the garage.
Yeah.
And I guess Bill's still living, I understand.
Bill is, yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever had a chance to talk to him?
We talked to him, but not about this.
We talked
to him about some other things. About all their steam equipment and thrashings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to him about that. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked to him about the marsh.
And I went along with him one fall as a helper, you know.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. Spike Clear is a thrashing?
Thrashing helper.
Do you have the steam then, or do you have
the old Rumley oil pump?
Rumley oil pump, yeah.
But to watch, keep the water right, you know.
Yeah.
Keep the water up in the tank as it would start, the engine would start to ping.
Yeah.
And,
Well, then, would you barn thrash, or do all that barn thrashing, or do some stoop thrashing?
Oh, well, barn thrash.
Barn thrash.
Barn thrash, yeah. Stoop thrashing. Mostly. Because the farmers wanted to save their straw and load in the barnyard and save their chaff for food.
Oh, I was, we had a, down where we were, the low pro we came up, we had a chap down there. He had three thrashing machines. and John Cooper used to work out of his place was in Newton Brook. You know where the, you ever know where the Algonquin Hotel was down on down on Yonge Street, just the north end of Toronto.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he wasn't very far from that, just a little bit west of there, out on Finch Avenue. He had three thrashing machines, but he only had two tractors, so they were great big old heavy Waterloos.
Yeah.
Great big monsters, you know, all wood, all wooden machines. And so we'd get one of those early and we'd stoop thrash.
Yeah.
Well, then we'd take it around and thrash for other people and use our tractors. And it was, so I was old enough that I could turn down the grease cups. That was my, so Dad would go and get everything all set up like, and then I'd stay there and go around and feel the bearings, make sure nothing was hot, and turn down the grease cups and fill the grease cups at lunch in an hour. Stuff like that, and that was my job. Turn the straw blower, and make sure that they. You know, that was quite the thing. But it was.
Yeah, that was quite the thing.
I was never big. I wasn't big enough. I didn't have enough weight in my ass yet in order to turn the crank though on the tractor.
Oh, I can start up that little rumble oil pump.
Well, machinery's changed a lot, though, from steam, you know, you go back to, it was quite, when steam came in, it was quite a thing, and then you read about early transportation in this part of the world, and everything was dependent on the paddle, and then you go to, when steam came in, it came in, well, I guess just about the time that the railroad came into Bradford here. So.
Yeah, I've been a steam thrashing.
Yeah.
Down in the flats.
Yeah.
Near Catania is where their farm was down there.
Yeah.
And, Jack Luck, he owned some property there.
Mm-hmm.
And old steam would come in and have a great big pile. I think he was able to get roots, not from the marsh, good pine roots in it, you know. That made good fuel, I'm sure. So, but they, yes.
Well, it's quite the thing, you know, when you think about it. It's,
well, is there anything else, George?
Well, I'll just, thanks for coming in and having a chat. If you, you know, this will tickle some more memories for you, you know.
Oh yeah, it has.
So if you just keep a piece of paper handy.
I should really write.
And just drop some notes down, and then come on back again, and we'll chat again. The other one we'll try and get together with, get together with you, and maybe get together with Joe or even with Sam again. And because one person tickles another person, you know what I mean?
Because there are fine parts that I've forgotten that they might just remember.
No, but it kicks off their memory.
Kicks off their memory, yeah.
Sure.
Well, like the size of the barge. And,
Anyway, well, it all adds up. It's really quite surprising, you know. Like here, you know, the fact you mentioned they had a dance where they have somebody play with a fiddle and an accordion or something like that.
That's part of forgotten.
Yeah.
And had a couple of
like, you know.
Yeah. Your mother taught school to you here in, you know, the old schoolhouse in the...
The Amsterdam School?
Amsterdam School. She taught there for 21 years.
She'd teach Ada Catania, did she?
She'd teach Ida Catania. Ida was my first girlfriend. We always talked about that. Mother had left the home with the lady we were staying with. But I got a pocket full of matches and I went upstairs and a little lamp. Of course, I knew they were going, but she found me. I guess I can only have been about 5 or 6. So this wouldn't do, so Mother taught me to school. Brought me to school, so that's Jim, we had some wild memories.
Yeah.
Sam and Leo still around.
Yeah.
And Sam, of course.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of folks that have, you know, you say, well, you should have done this 10 years ago. Well, that's right, but, you know.
But even more salient points, what we remember now is the main ones.
Anyway, well, good to have a chat with you.
Yeah,
thanks very much for coming over.
You're welcome.